You're listening to Around Comics, episode 95.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
I'm feeling very insecure right now. We have so many people watching us.
Claustrophobic.
I'm very, it's kind of nerve-wracking.
It's like fucking Hollywood Squares in here. I take Scotty Young to block.
Mr. Tom Caters, how you doing?
I already used my joke.
All right.
Move on to the next one.
Okay, we'll go around the mega-sized table.
It's the same-sized table, just more people.
Yeah, it's more cramped.
Shouldn't we have a round table?
Comparison.
It's a rectangle.
Like a fucking sauna in
here. I have no pants on right now.
You know him as the host of Word Balloon. We know him as our good buddy, Mr. John Suntress.
The Charlie Weaver of the Hollywood Squares.
In the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah. Oh, hello!
Paul Lynn.
Paul Lynn,
yeah.
That's
what I was going
to
say.
So jumping over to the other side of the table, he's one of our favorite artists. He is the incredibly talented Mr. Mike Norton.
Was that
incredibly?
Incredibly.
That was the intro remix.
Mr. Mike Norton, how you doing?
Hi. I'm sleepy.
That's the only time you'll hear him for the rest of the show.
He's going to curl up over there with his little pet pug.
I wish I brought him.
Yeah. Use him as a pillow.
Yeah.
He's in his shoe right now.
He's in my shoe.
He's just sitting there.
I have a Paris Hilton-like bag that I carry him around.
Listen to the crank cast for more about Ninja. Actually, what's the new story art going on? It is
Crank broke his glasses and he needs a new pair.
That's right. His eight-year-old sunglasses that cost him $12. So this summer, you have the search for Ray Palmer. He has the search for new sunglasses.
Yeah,
and he's the search for Ray Bans.
The 5 seconds that we
everybody. I'm here all week.
So. And our next guest, first time appearance. Long-time listener.
Long-time meaning one long marathon.
Yeah.
The amount of time he listened was the same.
72 hours.
Yeah, one long miserable week.
80 episodes in a week. It's a new record. Mr. Scotty Young.
Hello, Mike Norton hates my freedom.
Mike sent me an email, said you've been bugging him all week to come out here.
Oh, I wouldn't fucking exaggerated or anything. I said, what are you doing Friday night? And he's like, dude, let's go to Around Comics. I'll take you over there. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm kidding. I said, I wouldn't cross a line or anything.
All right.
But no. I did say, hey, you know, I've been listening to a lot of these shows in the last week, so I thought I'd come over and tell you guys what the fuck's wrong with you.
Drop a little knowledge on you. Come on.
Let me realign you.
And our last guest, I guess you are the announced guest before the show, before everyone else dropped in. You are one of the three members of
Podcasting Royalty.
Mm-hmm. Podcasting Royalty, yes.
Good Lord.
The number one podcast in the world.
Again, I'm getting a better, like, they actually work in comedy. I've talking to my computer.
I mean, is Mr. Josh Flanagan from iFanboy.
And I would appreciate it the next time you don't just have people show up and take up my time.
Don't!
None of you comic professionals touch Josh, all right?
Sorry.
Because when Josh talks, he talks.
Sorry.
And if he wants a response from you, he will look you in the eyes.
You haven't been.
So when you're done with the 90 hours of Around Comics, you can feast on 75 of ours.
Comics professionals.
professionals have to raise their hands when they want to talk.
The funny thing about listening to this much comic book podcasting is I don't even read comics. I have no idea what anybody's talking about.
See, now you
top
don't have
to. Stack, and this is what it sounds like to me. Bleah, 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 bleah.
I'm like, wah, 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 wah.
It's about right.
It's no different for anyone else, I don't think. It's pretty much the same.
Well, folks, this is one of our news and reviews episodes, so we'll see how that goes as we move along here.
He's not promising anything.
I don't have high hopes.
Or as I call it, the clusterfuck episode.
Well, that's what it was last week.
You're gonna
good
get
Lord.
You're gonna get emails.
Who knew that Chris was the rudder? That seriously.
Hey, I believe me. By the end of that show, I was I could not imagine wanting Chris to be around more. I worked with him all day long. I was so happy that he was leaving for a week because I didn't have to see him at work all the time and see him every Friday night for 12 hours, and I couldn't have been happier that he was coming back by the end of that show.
Well, the thing is, everyone knew I was going on my honeymoon, but I'm actually married to two people. I'm married to Marta and Sal.
Yeah, lucky me.
I spend more time with him than I do with my
very
wife.
But Ed Brubaker, if you're available, all this can be yours.
That's very true.
For one low, low price.
I actually walked away more pissed off than I usually do. It's usually a little behind the scenes. Usually I'm so ready for the show to be over by the time.
No,
we get
but
to
the reason for that is you had a box full of quarter books that you wanted to go home and read.
Yeah,
it had
exactly
nothing to do with
and
the
I
show.
I was like sitting around talking, oh, book X sold out. Oh, so and so's not writing this book. Whatever. Let's finish the book of the show. Right?
Thanks for that, Tom. I appreciate the help on that one, buddy.
Believe me, whenever I was laying on a beach in Turks and Caicos listening to that episode.
I don't think Turks and Caicos is a real place.
Dude,
that seems like...
What the hell are you listening to this?
Hey, I listen to the Rucka debrief, so screw you.
I include myself. What the hell are you doing listening to a podcast on your goddamn honeymoon, man?
Your wife's trying to talk to
really
you and you're pointing your ear.
It's all fake.
I gotta answer this.
My wife lives in Bloomington, Illinois. She just likes it better there.
No, she's from Niagara Falls.
She's from Canada. You wouldn't know her.
Oh, Tom's joke. That was Tom's joke.
I can't achieve climax unless I'm listening to a podcast.
That's the top of the stack, baby. That's the top of the stack.
Well, I don't think there's any better. I don't think there's any better moment in the show to mention that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Your heart pounds. Your palms sweat. The tension is nearly unbearable.
Climax.
You're gonna get kicked out of the store.
And then you spot it. That graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere.
Oh.
Right here in your local Borders.
The pages stuck together.
Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
It's weird that they wrote that exactly that way.
It was pretty nice having them as a sponsor.
Sponsored by Borders ever again.
Yeah, I would like to thank Borders for the last episode they have sponsored. So
they don't listen.
Yeah.
Also, would like to remind everyone that Around Comics was recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to
you
meet
never you. Know what you'll see.
You never know.
Or you know, no, okay.
Well, you kind of know what you'll
honest
see.
Honest to God, you know what you'll see? You'll see a bunch of dudes sitting around a table. Yeah. It hasn't happened yet where we haven't done that. There's no weird one where, like...
Remember when Farrah Fawcett walked in that night? That was incredible.
Remember when we went hang gliding that
one? Oh, yeah.
It doesn't happen. You'll see anywhere from 3 to 10
doing
dudes
a show
sitting
from the top
around
of the
table.
Pyrenees this week.
Do you guys actually really love to meet the people?
Yeah,
so
you know, having
did you notice?
Yeah, like the whole time you guys are here, show people are walking through. You don't look at a fucking person.
That's
like
not Hank. True.
Now it's Hank. Jeremy who came to watch the show because Josh is here.
Yeah,
I talked to him.
Of course, our omnipresent Hank.
I love how we have the Chicago iFanboy groupie that had never heard of us before.
Don't call him a groupie. That's offensive to everyone.
Yeah, holy stalker.
He's not
going to
have sex with John.
That's fine. I killed him.
All right.
Blow of Norton.
I think that'll take care of the announcements and introductions. That means it is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, right from the top, huge geological discovery that every comic fan will be very, very interested in. Scientists have discovered real kryptonite.
Real? It's Superman is here.
Here's a joke.
I second that.
Here's a joke for all you real DC nerds. If it's silver kryptonite, it's a hoax.
It's true.
I'm glad I didn't
only
get that.
Only Suntress gets that.
If Mark Waid's
listening. It was like James Bond.
Fucking
it's
nerds,
just a ton
right?
Of blank faces, and Suntress leans in. He's like, "Yes,
yes,
true,
correct,
he's correct." Yes.
As Suntress slightly touches his thigh, I
you're
got
right,
you, brother.
Tell me more about Silver Kryptonite.
Mark Waid's laughing his ass off.
He got you.
Well, no, I was thinking too, in the 50s, because it was black and white. Kryptonite was gray and not green. Because I guess that they're like, "Yeah, hang on, nerds. It's not green. Sorry." Scotty has a point.
Yes, Scotty.
Yes,
you have
Scotty.
Something?
Just get told to shut up.
Oh, God, I like Scotty. We need to have him back more often.
Next news story.
No, it actually, just to kind of cover the story, it is kind of interesting. They find this mineral in Serbia and break down the minerals that it's made out of, and the geologist that found it Googled that combination of weird minerals, and it came up as kryptonite.
Yeah, it was like from, I don't know which film it was, but it was one of the
Superman Returns.
Yeah, they had like, there was a crate of kryptonite, and on the crate
were crate. It was like
in
some dumbass
sorry.
Art director was like, we'll call it CRTBRMZ. And then some scientist was like, holy shit, I found something. The thing about this story, though, that's weird is a trained geologist finds something, and the first thing he does is fucking Google it.
Exactly. Where's your science now, Tom?
He went to Wikipedia.
Hey, Jeeves!
Yeah, that's what
maybe,
I was thinking.
Maybe Neil Adams is not so off.
I'm thinking it was Wikipedia, and that it's really Wade that like kind of is the real source. Apparently, this Professor Mark Waid.
Mark Waid.
Science in Serbia is not.
It's just a fun
it's like
sort
if
of
I went to the doctor.
Serendipity.
It's like if I went to the doctor and I had a sore throat and like my side hurt and the let doctor just get like, let me D. just check
I had
sources
that.
And turn yeah. on went yeah. to your computer and I see yeah. Google
the doctor.
Wait.
Com.
God, I actually had that happen. I went
found
to the doctor.
Jared's lost pounds. I dug them up.
I had this.
Feel the pants again.
I had this strange rash on my arm, and
what?
Is this for real?
Swear to God. I went to the doctor because I had this rash on my arm. I don't know. I came out with... It was ended up being just like a stress thing. But I go to the doctor, this new doctor. I had never went to him before.
And Friday nights were killing him.
No. This was years ago. A couple years ago.
Stress rash.
It's when I first had kids. That was... Yeah, anyway. But... So I go to the doctor, and he looks at it and everything, and then he goes, and he leaves, and he comes back in, and he's holding a fucking book, and he's looking it up. And I'm like...
In front of you.
Yeah, I'm like, what the... Wait a minute.
And he says, you're fucked up, man.
Basically, he's like, well, I'm not sure. It could be one of two things.
Wow, look what this is going to turn into. Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, okay, great. I, you know, just went and saw fucking Dr. Seuss.
So all doctors should memorize every medical fact. Ever like
well, don't look it up in front of
yeah,
you.
Don't come in the office with a book in your hand and showing me
your knowledge.
With my fellow associates in leather, bound in leather, and they tell me
it's broken a leg.
All right, next
terrifying.
Story.
Yeah.
Hey, we can
apparently after Captain America was killed in the Marvel Universe,
he died for a second time.
He decided to go partying, stuff a burrito down his pants, and grope a woman.
Who hasn't done that?
That's my Friday night.
Yeah.
You know what?
Why do you think
I'm except without the women.
The photos. I'm not a woman.
I saw the photos on it. It looked like Reb Brown from the 70s Captain America movies. I was like, really? Whoa.
Nah, he's got a better costume.
Well, you know, even better, this was a doctor. Maybe
Australian.
The same, maybe the
I wonder
same
if he's
guy
the same
that,
doctor.
It's the same.
He's like, I don't know, maybe it's a burrito.
So, I mean, this really has absolutely nothing to do with comic industry news. I just thought it was funny that a guy dressed up as... there were multiple people dressed up as Captain America.
Yeah, that was...
And what I thought was funny is that they had to bring them all out of the bar and do a lineup outside of the bar for the woman to identify the one
which
that had
Cap?
Groped her. Yeah.
which one of these Captain Americas
feature? Why are there a bunch of Captain Americas at a bar?
It was like some...
It was a morning thing.
It was
they all got together to drink.
I think it was a themed pub crawl.
That's Tom is your favorite
crazy.
Captain America,
I want,
and you
I
can
want,
get a full
I'm more interested in that than I am
when
the,
they.
Oh, that's That was bound to happen if you had a bunch of guys dressed like Captain America in a bar. Somebody's going
to... I don't want to stand out from the crowd. Let me stick a burrito down my pants. Yeah. That'll get me first.
And he got busted with like an ounce of weed.
Happened. I mean,
when they put him in a lineup, did one of them go... Give me the key, the fucking answer, what the fuck? The usual suspects thing?
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, all the ones has a burrito, but one of them's trying to, like, ooh, I'm in a movie.
I'm the screen.
Didn't you get
it?
Do you
notice, like half of all stories in mainstream news that have to do with comics are some jackass in a costume?
Sure. Yeah.
Making the rest of us look like idiots.
Well, even poor Dave Cockrum, when he passes away, it's like Dave Cockrum, who was dressed in his, like, Spider-Man jammies.
I made fun of that.
You know? Well, there you go. Well, thank you for contributing.
Because it was stupid.
The myth.
Let me add that I love Dave Cockrum.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to know where he got X-Men pajamas that sucks.
I can't believe that was on the front page of CNN, though. That was like the crazy shit.
.com? CNN.com.
Yeah. Well, they were trying to, you know, recapture the magic from Cap Dying.
The story of fucking that guy dressed up like Batman running through the desert. Like...
Spider-Man robbing a comic book store. Mm. What is it with these assholes? They don't even read comics.
Basically, if you're doing cosplay, that's never going to be good.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, God.
You know why?
Don't bring up LARPing.
Because
on the show,
CNN
please.
Does not LARPing. Respect.
Magic missile.
CNN does not.
Ah, you've LARPed before.
No.
You're outed.
I've seen it in the park.
CNN does not respect the common LARPing principle of if you have your arms crossed in front of you, you are invisible. Right, so if you rob a bank,
listen
you
episode,
is that real?
Listen to episode 45.
Oh, yeah. Go to Dragon Con.
Yeah, have you gotten to that one yet, Scotty? Have you gotten to the LARPing conversations yet?
I skip a lot of shit sometimes.
Okay. That's probably best. All right.
I'll be like, this is good. And then I'm like, oh, it's fucking going nowhere.
Next story. For all those people reading Godland, you may be interested.
I was going to say something mean, but...
Yeah. I like
yes, I do the same thing with your comic book, Scotty.
I do, too, while I'm drawing them.
Nice. For fans of Godland, there is a deluxe hardcover coming out. It's going to collect the first 12 issues. I believe it's going to be oversized deluxe hardcover for $34.99.
I already
that
have
is,
all the issues. So and fucked.
I know, that's coming out July 18th.
Some sucker will buy it.
Is it good?
Oh, you know,
have you read it? It's a great series.
No, I've always wanted
it's
to.
It's really good. Check a look through the art.
Tom Scioli's gorgeous.
Oh, I love the artist. I just didn't know.
At first,
it's kind of trippy. So.
Yeah. At first,
totally
like, you
cosmic.
Don't quite know what it is. And then as you get going, it's like this story that is modern and retro at the same time, which sounds like such bullshit, but like
he's got a modern
he really rides that line really well.
Joe Casey.
Joe Casey. It's a very classic superhero story. But
camp to it, but at the same time.
I would say that the camp is down to a certain amount of minimum, but they have like a certain, there's definitely a modern sense of humor, especially to the villains, that I think sort of elevates it above just like hero worship.
And
I think it's not just a Kirby rip
off. Cosmic tribute. Yeah.
But sort of the Kirby tribute part of it is done so well that it's just, if nothing else, it's really good to look at. But then there's good writing on top of it.
Yeah, Joe's writing a great book and Tom's drawing a great book. It's excellent. And it's, you know, the Comic Craft guys are behind it as well. And those guys just are all about design. It's really a great book, and I think it's wonderful that it's coming out in this format.
I'm just glad my waiting for the trade and waiting for something beyond the trade finally paid off, because I put this book off for a long time, and I never did buy it, and now I'm kind of glad I didn't.
I know, I was just
his not
buy
buying of it.
my not buying of it.
Normally we call that just not buying.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're creating a whole new generation. It's like we had the, you know, the singles buyers and then the waiting for the trade, and now I wait for the deluxe hardcover.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're only going to get like about 2% of your books that way.
It's going to save a lot of money.
Yeah, it will, but you'll be a sadder person.
You're right.
I wait till Joe Casey calls me on the phone and recites the whole book to me over the phone.
You are dialed
page,
in.
Page one.
Page one.
All right, next story. Peter Tomasi.
You didn't raise your hand.
Would somebody want to say
that? Damn it.
Peter Tomasi has stepped down as a senior editor at DC, but he has signed an exclusive as a writer there. So we're going to see him working on such titles as Black Adam, The Dark Age. So apparently
it must suck to be an editor.
from what I saw in the story is that he was doing a lot of writing on top of his editing duties and just decided to become a full-time writer and kind of take off the, you know, quote-unquote, take off the editing hat for a while.
The editing hat looks like an engineer's cap, by the way. The writer's cap is a pirate.
It's got a little eraser on it.
As excited as I am about the Black Adam story, I'm kind of disappointed that they're picking up so quickly.
After World War III.
Yeah, where they leave him at the end of issue 50 of 52 in World War III, because I think that's a nice little limbo.
But that's a year later.
And I understand that. You're right. Bum, bum, bum. But still, that's why I just would like to see a little more of Black Adam on the ice after having so much exposure recently in 52.
Yeah, they're probably going to try and capitalize on it while the character's hot. Sure. Marcosia has...
Marcosia.
Is it Marcosia or Marcosia?
It's Marcosia.
Only Chuck Satterley knows.
So, Marcosia has merged with Arts or Associated Arts and Media.
AAM.
This is he did this diet. Only if you. He wanted to be. Yeah.
Huh?
He only if yeah he's been on the CGS podcast a few times talking about this. They did it specifically so that they would be in the front of previews because it's AAM.
Brilliant.
That's the only.
Is that even a real company, or they just made up the name?
I think he just made up the name.
I'm starting a company called Triple A Aardvark.
Whatever.
Well, we do. We already have Around Comics.
Hey, yeah, Around Comics. That name for a reason. iFanboy.
Yeah, now, who are you talking to? Word Balloon, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Why don't you call it the X-Caster?
Mine's A Infinity.
Pound sign comic podcast.
Well, I kept meaning to mention to Mike that you guys got to change the name of the from The Crankcast to just Crankcast, because you're at T's, man. If you just put Crankcast...
I could give a damn who this is. I'm surprised that anybody does in the first place.
Mike and Crank like to put people on the hunt.
You got to earn it. Yeah.
You can't just listen to us.
We're changing the name next week. There you go. We're not going to tell you what it is. Yeah. Changing the feed and
Took you like 8 months to get on iTunes.
Well, that's because there already was a Crankcast.
There was a Crankcast.
Oh. Right.
Yeah. What happened to them?
It was like Jerky Boys. They crank called people.
That is so immature.
Let's talk about comic books.
What's happening with the Flash?
All right. Speaking of comic books, DC has announced that they're going to be providing previews at MySpace. So
For Countdown.
They're going to get so many stripper friends. Whose profiles are...
Hey, I totally just got my new iPhone.
And this Mandy chick really likes her
52 preview.
If you're looking forward to Countdown and you would like to see preview pages, they're going to start that on May 4th.
Absolutely.
With the first 10 pages of Countdown.
I can't wait.
51. Following. Basically, they're going to end up doing a complete preview of the first and second issues, and they're going to be launching a DC Nation at MySpace on May 2nd, so you can check that out.
I just friended Dan DiDio. I should point that out. I think that's very important to say because he's so good, and I'm thrilled. I haven't got any response back other than I'm on his list now.
And I've got a friend, Amber, and Tiffany, and Georgette. Wait a minute, they're all gone now.
Why do all these profiles disappear before I can get on?
Good Lord. It's the Didio cast.
Oh, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing fine, how are you?
It's crisis on multiple Didio.
That's the secret of 52. That, yeah, 52 has been revealed.
I'm going to sign you, Dan.
I can't, I'm already exclusive, but thanks for trying. Maybe in a year or two. Can I write Spider-Man? It's my favorite book that I'm not printing. All right, never mind.
I'm freaking out here.
No idea through.
All right.
Norton, I'm going to hire you.
Turn down your
pencil. You're fired. You're fired.
Exactly.
There's a part of Norton that's like, dude, shut up. That's my boss.
I'm just like, whoa. It does sound like
he's pretty good. What do you think?
As Norton runs out the door to work. I'm working. I swear.
Let me talk to the other Dan.
All right. What do you think? I don't know. I think he's too expensive. Can we get a knockoff?
Wait a minute. Let's cut it down a little bit.
It's your third one. It's from Earth S.
Oh, snap!
Me no Dan DiDio.
We're taking about 8% off.
We need the Dueling Banjos music now. We gotta do like Belushi and what's his face did on Saturday Night Live.
All right, last story.
Okay, last story. There's a director's been named for the Magneto movie.
That's fantastic.
It's not your property.
David
Shut up, Dan.
I'm
not
even familiar with that character.
I actually hadn't even heard that they were going to be doing a Magneto movie. And
Magneto.
Yeah, not strong.
Who's the director?
David Goyer.
Goyer.
Oh, it is David Goyer. I was kidding.
Yeah, he's not involved in any comic movies or anything, is he? David Goyer?
Well, I thought he was directing like five different other ones.
Yeah, I thought there was a DC book that he was going to make into another DC
book.
He's
not exclusive.
But anyway, the whole thing of them being younger, Magneto and Xavier kind of recruiting.
Well, this is apparently Magneto, what they're talking about at this point is that it is going to be an origin story. And so Ian McKellen
was born.
Is not going to be featured prominently in it. It's going to
during the beginning and the end.
Yes, it's going to be more of an origin story.
You need
which
Ian McKellen.
Patrick Stewart.
We may actually have some information coming up in a couple weeks on another X-Men spinoff movie. So
I can't talk about that.
Yes, what? But listen, in a couple weeks.
Why don't I know?
You guys have the inside scoop.
No,
maybe. Over here at Dark Tower Comics.
We've been provided the entire real
thing. I saw an ad in the back of JLA number blah, blah, blah.
At long last, Howard the Duck 2.
All right, so everyone out there is probably just a little bit dumber from listening to that, but that was your news for the week.
Don't qualify it like that.
It just got really serious.
Everyone was absolutely dumber for listening to that. Is that better?
Yeah, it's either they're dumber or they're not. Not you might be. You are or not.
It's up to you to decide.
Let's stop.
But if you're dumb,
you won't be
passive aggressive little thing.
This is all going to be part of Countdown. I'm taking very careful notes.
All right, that's the end of the news.
All right, that's your news. There are a few different ways that you can get involved with the show. You can visit us at our forum at aroundcomics.com, or you can leave us a voicemail on our hotline. Sal, how do folks do that?
Call the hotline, 1-888-65-GCAST. What the fuck else are you going to do? Leave us a voicemail. I'm sorry, I'm surly. Scotty's just...
He's Scotty Young's sketchbook.
Yeah, he's just... He's a bad influence on me. I've become completely unprofessional.
Because I'm completely supporting like his surliness. Like, no, I heard you be surly. Be more.
No, you
surly.
Rock. When you're an asshole, you
tell
rock.
Him to fuck off more, man. That gets me hot.
When you're a dick to Chris, that's awesome.
Well, that's my favorite part of the show.
Like he needs more encouragement there, Scotty.
All right. Anyway, 1-888-65-GCAST. Leave us a voicemail. We'll probably play it on the show.
Just like this.
Hey guys, it's Keith here, Vorpal Keith from the forums, and I know I should have called into the voicemail line sooner, but something's happened this week, and it has occurred to me that I just couldn't hold it off anymore. It's those Mike Norton emoticons that you uploaded onto the forum. They're creepy. They freak me out. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Mike Norton as much as the next guy. You pretty much have to. He's 27 feet tall and carries around a bottle of chloroform. But seriously, those things are going to haunt my dreams. And I don't know what to do about that. Just thought you guys would want to know that. Anyways, bye.
All right, thank you, Keith, for the voicemail. We had to play that because Mike was here. And Mike, the Nordicons...
Not because we like the voicemail.
creepy, not creepy?
There's only one question out of that. I'm sorry. What's this with the chloroform?
I don't know anything about that.
Sure.
Go to sleep. Well, because whenever whenever you take
dream about Norton,
you have like this Batman fixation where no one can see where you live. So if anyone comes to your house, you have to knock him out first and then
take him in.
The great thing is Mike, as big as he is, still ninja tiptoes up behind him. But it sounds like this, doom doom doom, because he's.
And then he whispers in your
sleep.
Ear.
Go to sleep.
Wow, that's crazy.
Sweet
out.
Dreams.
Go to sleep.
Sweet dreams, my child.
So the Nordicons are creepy.
Exclusive Nordicons.
They were both extremely flattering and extremely disturbing at the same time. Because if it wasn't me, I would still think they were kind of weird.
There's like a happy one and then a sad one.
I want the one with your awesome beanie on that I drew you in, the lumberjack beanie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was just some... I honestly just did it so that you'd see it.
I kind of feel like I have reached the the...
you jumped the shark already?
Yeah, I've jumped the internet shark.
Where's the John Byrne emoticon?
I've reached internet exposure Where's level
Mike
zero.
Norton is sick of Mike Norton.
Yeah, I got to imagine everybody else is, too, so I'm going on a hiatus.
You're not... It's not going to be... It's not. You haven't jumped the shark until, like, a new kid shows up on Crankcast.
Well, Ninja.
Like, right. Ninja is, like, the new kid.
Yeah, so I'm going into hiding and...
Frank and
Ninja
will be doing it.
Yeah, we're
replacing for one more season, and that's pretty much it.
Go to sleep.
All right. In addition to leaving us voicemails or interacting on the forum, you can also send us emails, which we love. And we put out a challenge for emails. And,
got none.
No, actually.
Oh, did we?
Jonathan Conrad sent me an email and said you asked for it, and we asked for.
I think we don't have any. We have one listener. It's Scotty. He just keeps downloading us over and over.
He's listening to the first five. I was like, why do I get to hear about Rucka? I'm going back to number one.
He's got hard drives just full.
Nothing against Rucka, by the way. Just
200,000 copies.
Call me.
Exactly. Scotty hedging his bets for the next
Nothing against Rucka, just Chris's man love obsession with him.
Hey, it's healthy. It's a healthy man love obsession.
What's he got on his desk?
A picture of Chris?
You know, I haven't.
A bag of fresh ground coffee that Chris sent up.
Yeah, listen to Thursday's episode with Matt Fraction for more creepy Chris Knows What's On Your Desk talk. Jonathan Conrad emailed
a new segment,
and he says, my name is Jonathan. I am a Lutheran pastor near the Philly area. I've been a comic geek since I was three. I'm 35 now. I began listening to your podcast a few weeks ago when you had the iFanboys on. I also am a big fan of John S. and am glad... he didn't mean you. And I'm glad...
John Severin. Severin.
Yeah,
we had him on.
And I'm glad you guys can be serious and funny at the same time. Your podcast kept me awake as I drove from North Carolina to Pennsylvania last Saturday. I would like you guys to talk about the one scene in Civil War VII when the Sentry appears and you see Captain Marvel fly in with him. Couldn't someone have said, holy shit, that's Captain Marvel? Or,
is that a Lutheran preacher? Or, good lord!
He's Lutheran there, you know.
He lost his mind!
No, then he goes, or look, another GD clone, Hercules, attack!
Wait, he'll say shit, but he won't say goddamn.
He's the pastor.
He goes, anyway, would you think that the return of this character would have been addressed? And I emailed Jonathan back and said that was one of the many things wrong.
The thing with Captain Marvel... Yeah, really obvious. Surprised me is when he came back and two of his oldest friends took a look at him and their first thought was, we're going to give you a shitty job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, wow, it's really great to see you. Can you watch these guys for a while?
We got to go out. I got a party.
Yeah, we have like a prison
thing.
Guys we don't like.
Oh,
John,
like, the fridge. No, not guys you don't like. It's, we got some of your friends in the back. Can you make sure they don't get out?
Yeah, the fridge is full. Don't worry.
We got a thing we got to be at.
I don't know. It was a whole weird thing with the Captain Marvel. Was like, they led up to it. Everybody kind of was making assumptions and guesses that Captain Marvel was coming back. And then he comes back.
And it's a non-fact.
And it was a non... Yeah, it's like, well, why bring him back? What's the point?
Well, that answer will come in issue one of Captain Marvel, which will come out in 2010.
Well, Captain Marvel,
like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, the whole premise of his book is that he's going to go around and just get jobs from friends. Do you want to, like, walk my dog?
Like two Avengers team, one Jarvis.
My
what
car.
Are you gonna do?
They need another Jarvis.
He's going to be their butler.
No.
All right, anybody want
to just walk around? I just need a transfer. Can I do something for a bus transfer? He just needs a job.
I need a job with health insurance because...
You need your Windows
I've got a bad history of this kind of thing. And
do you have a preexisting condition.
I died.
I don't know what Marvel, whoever's in charge of that department. Scotty, who's in charge of Captain Marvel over there?
Give us a number.
Mr. Marvel Man.
Mr. Marvel.
It'll be shocking
if
we go.
I'm familiar with him.
Yeah. Steve Marvelman. It'll be shocking if we go through this whole convention
He's
season
in accounting.
With Captain Marvel showing up in Civil War 7, and there is no firm announcement of when that Captain Marvel project is coming up. I mean, I'd be shocked if... You know, after he was in Chicago.
I don't want
to. Was there a worse character to bring back? I mean, wasn't he just fine dead? You know, it's kind of like the Batman quote in Infinite Crisis. You know, the last time you mattered is when
I don't care. It's like if you're going to bring somebody back, at least make it
Did you guys make some point to it? Yeah, you know.
Did you guys see any of the notes where actually it wasn't Captain Marvel that was coming back? They were going to bring Jesus back.
Oh.
And he didn't actually accept
the pastor's letter.
But Tim Seeley threatened to sue because he's like, no, my Jesus is fighting vampires right now. That's not in continuity.
I created the new Jesus character.
He spits on vampires and kills them.
Jesus, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things.
Jonathan, it's a mess. We can't figure it out. There are no answers.
I'm surprised you picked that out of all of
the bad parts of Civil War.
Wow. Yeah.
There were some issues.
Oh, you left the company. Now you're hardcore. Throwing elbows on Marvel. Damn.
It wasn't my favorite series.
Yeah, you're going to be fine here for a
while. I liked it up until then.
Exactly. Say what you want.
And before we totally rail on it, it's... You know,
I liked it up until the end.
Anyone that's listened to the podcast for the last months knows how much we've been enjoying DC. But I think everybody here can agree that Infinite Crisis 7 was a major letdown. I know for me.
It fell apart too, I think.
And I see.
Hold on, he didn't say that.
That, okay?
Yeah.
But that's not Mike Norton. Lines, will you? That's Scotty Young pretending to be Mike Norton.
Everyone's doing the DR.
Oh,
we should all right. do all the
deal.
Let's go to the news desk.
Guys, like fucking bizarro world. It's like, you know.
Me not the deal.
It's like Earth the deal.
Earth up square.
Earth D.
But, you know, I see Civil War 7 being very similar to Infinite Crisis 7. Is that it was too much to wrap up in one issue, and I'm hoping that with World War Hulk that it kind of is Marvel's version of getting things straightened out.
As good as 52 has been, and, you know, the accomplishment of a weekly book that I thought really held together and was really good, I think they ran into the same problem where it's like coming to the end and they only have two issues left, and there's a lot of stuff that they're trying to wrap up. I mean, I thought World War 3 was sort of an attempt to
button up a bunch of stories.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, though, I just think it gets to the point where...
You could have not mentioned how Hot Girl got normal size, and I don't think there would have been any fans being like...
I don't think it was a...
It would have been.
The thing is, I think what happened with 52 was that the story started to progress really well, and I think that's what caused these other little things. You know what I mean? It's like, and that was just due to the quality of what they were doing at the time.
The other problem is, too, 1 year later is already a year old, and we're still stuck in these six-part story arcs.
Yeah.
So it's still the beginning of...
Don't worry about it, John. It'll all get taken care of.
But, I mean, that's the thing. No, I think people have been waiting a year to get these questions answered, and it's like, oh, they're not going to happen anytime soon. And in some cases, it's because books are late. And in other cases, I just think, again, the nature of the six-part arc plays against you when you've got that kind of immediacy of a story and people want to know, well, what happened? Why did this happen? Give us all the details. And I will say that the successes of 52 could be equal to what I see in coming after Civil War, and that is I like the post-Civil War modern world. I like that the status quo has been kind of unbalanced and that there's still hurt feelings and the Mighty Avengers are still hunting.
Yeah, I agree. I think post-Civil War is going to be more interesting than the Civil War event itself. You know what I mean?
I think it's set up for World War Hulk, I hope.
I just think sometimes, I don't know, I mean, when you're trying to do these huge multi-series crossover events, I think sometimes things just get lost, and by the time you figure it out, it's too late, and you got to kind of cover it.
It's a lesson for everyone to learn.
It was
a giant
story.
And as soon as I become editor-in-chief of any company,
that was a Didio flame out.
It's not worth it. Anyway, I don't...
Well, shall we move on to pick of the week? I mean, top of the stack?
Is that what we're moving on to? Top of the stack. Pick of the week. Nice.
Pick of the week. It's pick of the week.
Pick of the week? We're doing pick of the week?
Do we?
Ron Connor, I sold the concept.
We bought it.
He sold it for two pieces of stuffed deep dish Chicago pizza and a beer.
I'm staying here.
It's time for top of the stack. That's right. It's time for top of the stack, or pick of the week, or whatever you want to call it. In honor of Josh, this
my
is pick of the week.
The pick of the stack.
The pick of the stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week.
Right.
Mr. Caters, what did you read this week?
I partook in the top shelf anniversary sale, so I bought a bunch of books, and I finally got to read The King by Rich Keselowski. It was fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
I actually, for the $3, I ordered another copy
sandwich.
I'm going to pass it around and give it to people.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, how about you let me talk about my review?
Oh, snap.
No, I'm sick.
It's on like Donkey Kong, folks.
Here comes the barrel.
I bought five copies.
Don't worry, Tom. I'll turn down his mic.
No, I'm kidding. I'd like to be ornery. What I enjoyed about this book. I feel like Scotty's watched so many, listened to so many, he's like eyeballing me right
Bring
now.
Bring it. Bring it, funny man.
Watch it. Watch it.
Talk about your monkey.
Oh, my watch just broke. I'm very upset. Sorry, I didn't
focus out.
Random. Tom, go ahead.
What I enjoyed about The King by Thomas Caters. What I enjoyed about The King is that it sort of reminds me a bit of like a Phonogram by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey. And that I like the idea of the main theme of this book being people sort of finding redemption through believing in something that's outside of reality, which I think has a certain tie to comic book fans that get sort of a certain amount of enjoyment out of fictional characters that they put a lot of investment in. And a lot of these characters in this book, which is sort of about someone who might be Elvis, who might not be Elvis, who's performing, and a lot of people who sort of find their own personal redemption through believing that it's Elvis. And it doesn't matter whether or not he's real or not, it's just the belief in that.
It's
sort of the power of music or any sort of like popular art to sort of when people put their focus on it, it almost becomes like what religion used to be to certain people, you know. And there is a very literal part of this book where Elvis becomes a religion. Mm-hmm. And it offers a lot of good things, but offers a lot of like really bad things too. And I really enjoyed it.
And you actually have an audio accompaniment?
If you want to really get a feel for why Elvis was so important, you listen to this clip. It's from a Las Vegas concert in the early 70s. I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, listen now.
So, I don't pay attention to rumors.
Oh, I know.
I don't pay attention to movie magazines. They don't read them because they're all junk. And
I don't listen to podcasts.
No, I don't mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So if they don't know anything, they make it up, you know. So in my case, they make it up. When I hear rumors flying around, I got sick in the hospital.
Sick in the hospital?
Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out.
Strung out.
Oh, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music.
Except when I'm dying. And right now.
Liquid morphine that I was snorting up my...
When I got sick here in the hotel, I got sicker that one night. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform.
I saw elephants.
From three different sources, I heard I was strung out on heroin.
He was.
I swear to God, hotel employee, Jack. This. Bellboys,
medical grade,
freaks that carry your luggage up to the room, people working around, you know, talking,
all
maids,
in a jeweled suit.
Yeah, and I was sick. I had a doctor, had the flu, and I can get over one day. But all across this town, I was strung out. So I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else. If I find or hear the individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch.
King. Thank you.
All right, people, Las Vegas, everybody. Listen to that.
Hold on.
That is dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father, to my friends, my doctor.
She turned out fine.
To everybody in my relationship with you.
My doctor.
My relationship with the family state, it is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roots.
Finish him.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
How many of you people saw the movie Blue Hawaii?
Elvis wins.
We have to end it with
go
that.
To
so
sleep.
Anyway, love me tender.
How many of you have seen the movie Blue Hawaii?
Yeah. Nice segue. I'll rip your goddamn tongue out by the root. You guys like my latest movie?
I did a film called Harem Scarum. I think y'all ought to check out.
And
I think y'all all like it.
If you've read The King, that is a perfect clip for that era of Elvis.
So you did a good job.
The sort of fat...
perfect.
Strung out. I've never been strung out.
I love Elvis. That's the way it is, because that was like the last of Thin Elvis in Vegas, though. It was definitely Rhinestone Elvis, but it was, you know, before Thin Elvis really emerged.
I mean, like, Tom Cruise is labeled like a psycho. He's crazy, but he's like he's a psycho murderer because he jumped on Oprah's couch, right? And Elvis is a king, and he's all like, I'll take souls and eat them with my fucking cereal. You know what I
mean? Like, the thing is, though, that is just a two-minute clip from an entire concert, there's two entire concerts from the early 70s where he did about 90 minutes of show, 45 of really fast versions of songs, right. Another 45 minutes of him fucking rambling, like...
You know what's great is he probably has a fucking gun. That's an audio clip. We don't actually see these.
He talks about, and now this is the last of it, he talks about earlier in this show where someone's like, saw a newspaper writer said I had a punch. It's not a goddamn punch, it's a bulletproof vest in case some psycho decides to take a shot at me on stage.
I own a tile from the floor of his suite at Baptist Memorial Hospital.
Wow.
So he was there quite often because of his colds, apparently.
He was a big fan of drinking cough syrup out of a champagne flute.
He was not strung out, though.
I've never been strung out.
I just got sick. I just had a cold.
I had a fever of 103.
That's a book, guys.
Lead up
needle marks on my vein.
I want a Memphis
That's just
Mafia
from my
book.
Cold.
There is one.
Oh, there's a couple of good ones.
I want a Memphis Mafia comic book.
Well, this The King by Kozlowski is, to some degree, it's sort of
captures
post,
that sort of sense. Yeah. Of,
yeah. I really like what Kozlowski's done in a lot of his stuff. He does these, you know, kind of historical fiction pieces where he takes very iconic characters or ideals and works a story around them. Three Fingers is another book that he did it's sort of old Hollywood, but old Hollywood cartoons, you know, the WB cartoons
that.
And stuff.
Absolutely.
Done in a documentary style and very gritty kind of thing, but you're talking to, you know, a very aged Porky Pig-like character and different cartoon-like characters. Funny stuff. But yep. And he's got a new one out, too, that's... I think it's... I don't know if it's a Marilyn Monroe or some... I can't remember. It's another sort of iconic American character, but I can't remember off.
And he's a very nice guy to meet if you ever have a chance at a convention.
He's nothing like Elvis. He will not rip his tongue. He will not rip.
But he does package some of his mini books with sausage.
Yes.
That his father makes.
Yeah, which Wisconsin summer sausage, Tom.
Go to sleep. Yeah, he's not crazy like Elvis. He just gives you sausages. Yeah, he's completely normal.
Sal, what's your
Well, I don't know if I can follow that up, the audio and everything. That's my top of the stack this week is God Save the Queen, Vertigo hardcover that just came out this week by Mike Carey and John Bolton. It's a very reminiscent of earlier Vertigo stuff like Sandman and Books of Magic. And actually, I've read one review by the Savage Critics that sort of complained about that because it was too much sort of taken from those books. But I don't know. I'm not versed enough in sort of those early Vertigo works to really say it bothered me in any way.
On the internet, you really should be very versed before you make reviews on the internet. Everybody else
is.
Why is that a bad thing?
Well, I mean, to this person, it was because he felt it was sort of a disservice to those earlier works, I guess.
Well, it's not like it's
disrespectful.
Disrespect.
Well, I mean, like
right now looks like
he brought like some of the characters that are in the book are actually from Sandman. That's one thing.
Oh, okay.
But I don't see that's a big deal. I mean, he worked on another book. Carey did
issues of Lucifer. That
was exactly. You know what I mean. Yeah. That's what I don't. That's what I don't quite understand. But
I don't understand that as a criticism.
I didn't quite either. And okay. But well, anyway,
you disagree because you like. You
know, yeah, I like the book.
Like
I like the book a lot. It's about a young girl. I don't know, young 17 maybe girl who.
She looks really old on the cover.
Let me see what she looks.
No, that's
like.
Not.
That's
her.
One of my awesome things in comics. The way teenagers always look.
Yeah, she doesn't look real teen, but she's supposed to be a teenager.
They are not strung out.
She's strung out. Well, anyway, she's sort of a rebellious teen, and she's looking for something. Her father had left her and her mother earlier in her life, and she's sort of rebelling against her mother, who's fallen into a very sort of depressive state of mind. And she falls into a crowd of drug addicts that are doing this new drug called Red Horse. Yeah. It turns out that these these people are actually fairies from Fairyland. I don't know. and as the story progresses, you find out that this
I have to edit this one too.
This fantasy land, yeah.
this
fantasy land, their current queen is overthrown by the prior queen that was locked up, and she somehow got out, and now she's taken back over the land, and it goes on from there. And obviously, this young girl gets put into this situation of having to fight for the freedom of this thing. But what I really liked about the book was, for one, the art I thought was gorgeous. It's all painted stuff, and depending on what part of the story you were in, or even scene to scene, Bolton seemed to really change his style to depict the emotion or the feeling of that particular scene that you're reading. I thought him and Carrie worked together extremely well. The prose in it, because a lot of it's told from her diary, and I thought there was some just really excellent writing going on in it. But I thought the artwork complemented it so well. It wasn't, you know, sort of two people doing two different things. They obviously worked extremely well together to complement one another. It gives you a very good sense of maybe that lifestyle of, you know, being caught up in a young age of drugs and trouble and different things. But at the same time, you are experiencing this fantastic realm. And the two correlated really well, where you weren't quite sure sometimes what was fantasy and what was sort of drug-related, you know, dreaming, that kind of thing. And even to the end of the book, I thought that they just intertwine those two stories really well to set a mood of surrealism. If that makes any fucking sense at all. But
What?
That's yeah, deep, man. Sorry.
Yeah, I was fucking blowing my mind. I feel like I'm on Red Horse.
Yeah. God, I'm sick. Quotes. Air quotes.
But like I said, I don't know. I mean, if you like read a ton of Sandman and Books of Magic and all that stuff, you'll hate this because it's too much like that other stuff. I can't see that
or
myself.
Maybe you'll love it because it's like
so
it.
Much like that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, I really enjoyed
it. Maybe you'll hate it because it's...
I thought
you've never
it.
Never read it because you're a jerk.
I really enjoyed it because I thought it was a great balance between, like I said, sort of that surreal lifestyle of, you know, partying all night long, you know, drug riddled sort of fever dreams and this fantasy.
It's like you're there.
Well,
fucking fever dreams.
Yeah, I'm strung out. I ain't strung out.
It's like, you know, that feeling when you're coming down.
Yeah,
it's like, well, after you shot up, but just before you sleep. I don't know.
But also, the, you know, the story that is set, it also works really well. It's not just like sort of ridiculous or, you know, kind of crazy ideas thrown together. The story itself has a very clear narrative, and from the drug aspect to the fantasy aspect, they really play against each other really well. And in the end, it made for an interesting sort of fantastic tale. So there you go.
Do you like? I mean, are you a fan? Did you read like all of Lucifer?
No, actually, I haven't read any of Lucifer.
Do you like that? Like, you should really read Lucifer, which is one of my favorite things to come out of Vertigo in a long time. And it's funny because Mike Carey's sort of known now for doing a lot of Marvel work and stuff, and it's been a mixed reaction. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, some people really don't like X-Men, and some do. And the same with Ultimate FF; it goes either way.
Or new X-Men.
But like. Whichever one it is, some X-Men. But
so says the artist.
But
one of those X books is.
But like when he does the Vertigo stuff, like that's like his you know, his
groove. Song. It's really
it's like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, the cuffs are off. He doesn't have to worry about continuity. He can tell his story.
Yeah,
and he's great.
And that I don't know. It's just like those. I really like his work when he does that stuff. He's done a bunch of stories like that. My Faith in Frankie and
yep.
that, and he's
that
doing Crossing
awesome.
Midnight
yep.
now. Like, and when he does, for some reason, he's got a thing for teenage girls. No, but he does stories
yeah.
about them, and they're
so.
Really good. Like Elaine was in Lucifer, and
he's doing. Isn't he doing one of the Minx?
Yes, he is.
There we go.
Well, I was quite. You know, honestly, I was kind of surprised by it because, like you said, I've read you know his Marvel stuff, and that's more of his stuff that I know. And then when I picked this up, it was just such a departure from what I'm used to him doing, or you know, the stuff that I've read of his.
Yeah.
I was kind of blown away by it. So
you really like if you dug that, you really do yourself a favor and find and start reading Lucifer.
I will do that.
Because you probably don't have enough to read.
Yeah, no, not.
Yeah. Get strung out on books.
Mr. Norton, what you reading these days?
Nothing.
I just finished the Secret Six Degrees of Devastation.
How'd you like that?
I loved it.
That's the first... Is that the first trade of
the
ongoing?
Trade, yeah, I had.
It's not enough. It was only a mini.
Oh, it was just a mini. I'm sorry.
You should be.
I hadn't read it before, and I wanted to get in and see what that was all about. I read the first issue.
Get up your elbows in it.
That's good hat.
Villains United, and I saw. Yeah, that's good hat. I thought that was cool. I mean, she managed to make. I mean,
Mad Hatter cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. Or at least give him a reason to be, you know, instead of just being a weirdo, which he's plenty of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody's like.
But you remember.
There's no comic characters that are just there for being their weirdos. Yeah.
But there's only room for one freak in the Secret Six.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I thought that all those.
Why don't you just give the whole ending away, Chris?
spoiler alert.
I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know. I didn't necessarily know if I would even. I'm not that. I think from when I was a kid, I didn't really like reading books that were about bad guys because I was like, that's the bad guy. I'm not supposed to like the bad guy. But it was pretty interesting, you know. And she made it about the characters, and so you want... I'd read the book if it were ongoing, you know. And I really like Brad Walker's artwork on it.
Yeah. Had you read Villains United?
I had the first issue of it, and mm-hmm. I kind of... It wasn't that I didn't like it. I just kind of gotten lost on it. Mm-hmm. So I heard about, you know, the whole making Catman cool and all that stuff. So I wanted to see what that was all about, and I wasn't disappointed at all. So
that was a great series. Cool. Yeah, go back and read Villains United if you have a chance.
I will.
It's equally as good as the 6 Degrees of Devastation.
Well, and just she finds humor in such interesting corners of the DC universe. I mean, I'm not going to spoil any specific jokes. Read the book.
Well, yeah, that was one of the things
that's what's great about it.
You know, I admittedly wasn't the most well-versed Gale reader when I started reading Adam before I was drawing it, and I just wanted to get into more of it.
Sure.
And I really like the way she does approach dialogue because it's a lot like Mike Baron was this sort of way too, where he just gave people this language. And didn't really explain anything about it. That's just the way that they talked. And even if you didn't understand what they were saying, she doesn't explain it. And so it's really like meeting a new person because it's just like, well, I'm going to have to talk to you a couple of times before I figure out why the hell you're like that.
Or you know? If you're an old-time DC reader, you will get it. And, yeah, you'll love it. And I think that's the more successful DC writers, I think, currently can really tap into that. And make a lot of us older readers really appreciate the fact that they've been along on the ride too, and know how to convey it in a modern way, and really make us happy that we remember the books that we do. And
being addicted to hats is kind of the coolest thing ever. a hat addiction—that's genius.
That's a good hat. Scotty,
you don't read comics.
Yeah, well, I say that and like, haha, but I really am a bad comic book fan. There was just a big chunk of time where I was a little bit more of an art snob, so I would just buy books to look at, and then I just lost the time. And I don't buy single issues. I only buy trades. But you know, I've talked to Mike this past year, and I've made kind of an effort to go back and go, okay, even though this might not be my favorite art in the world, I'm going to read it anyway. And I have actually liked a lot of books now that I've passed over. But so there's nothing really new or anything of the week. But the latest thing that I've read, and I almost feel like a bandwagon guy saying it because you guys talk about it here and there on your show, but probably my favorite
Queen and Country.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that's it. the two trades of DMZ. I bought those at the same time and read them, and I didn't know what to expect. I haven't really read anything from Brian Wood since Channel Zero, you know, one of his first things.
And, yep.
Because usually the art for me, not that it was bad, it just didn't fall within my taste of the other books that he's written. But when I picked those up, the art was so awesome, just flipping through it. I had no idea what the concept of the book was. I don't really pay attention to... I'm all like, yeah, I'm a comic fan. I know nothing about comics. So I just look it through. I'm like, oh, this is really, really cool art. It reminded me of like more detailed Rizzo or something from Under Bullets. In kind of like a tank girl, kind of cluttered post-apocalyptic type thing. And reading it through the trades, I mean, I didn't put them down, then I just read straight through, and really, probably my favorite comic book ever, because I'm not necessarily a big superhero guy, so reading that felt like I was watching, like, a really sweet, like, HBO movie, you know, or HBO yeah, series, absolutely. You know, where I believe the world, I believe the characters, I didn't have to, even though it's very fictional, I still didn't have to go, okay, you know,
it's close
this
enough
guy wears
close enough black reality
yeah.
to be scary.
Yeah, you know. to really kind of put your feet on that ground in some way and find some way to relate to it. But everything about it, that just the amount of action, the amount they pull back from the action, just the interaction of the characters. Again, the artwork conveys that world so well that makes you believe it as well. And one thing that I think he does that I know I cheap out on a lot as an artist, and I know a lot of us do, is he makes the background a character as much as the characters. It's very important to that book. I think if he wasn't drawing it, I don't know if I would buy the world as much, because he really sells how gritty and nasty and fucked up that world is. So that's really cool. And then if you like that book and you're into the trippy stuff, I would say twisted.
You're talking about
the Queen. Queen. Yeah. If you're into like books like that, I would say try Duncan Rouleau's Nightmarist.
Yeah, Duncan Rouleau's good.
He's awesome. I think Duncan Rouleau is an artist that he's been in comics for a long time.
He's a young gun.
He's been around for a long time, but I always feel like he's one of the artists that never got like that soup. Yeah, like that, well, he's been on a bunch. I mean, he did Alpha Flight back in the day with Siegel. You know, he did X Factor, X Force. He's done a bunch of stuff over the years, but he never got that big superstar marquee name in comics. And I always felt, and if you'll notice in DC over the past years, he'll do fill-ins here and there. He did some Superman stuff, but he did it might be like 200 page graphic novel that he wrote and illustrated.
And it's called the Nightmarist?
Yeah, it's called Nightmarist. Comic Craft put it out.
Oh, okay.
Starting, you guys
there you
put that. It's in digest size. He's already sold the rights to it. He already sold the rights to it before he's even finished with it.
Really?
Because Duncan Rouleau is behind with the Man of Action guys, Ben 10. That
okay.
cartoon.
Joe Casey,
yeah.
Joe Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. And him.
Steve
created
Siegel.
That
Steve,
yeah,
Siegel.
Steve Siegel,
that's right.
Cool.
But if you like that kind of thing, it's the Nightmarist. It's kind of like a suicidal girl. That has this crazy guy in her nightmares, and it's very kind of trippy. It's black and white. I don't know if that is good or bad for most people, but anytime an artist that you know you've known primarily for doing art that can really put out a book that size and that he's done everything, I really respect it. But it's a really cool read, so I'd say that you guys should check that if you're into that trippy shit.
Fuck on the Red Horse, man.
That's two picks.
Yeah, whatever. Every show they're like top of the stack. Each one of them got 7 comics, and then they got 9 honorable mentions. Honorable mention.
You'll catch up to the episode because Tom made us stop doing that.
Oh, you know that? Yeah, that was. I'm just to the.
I believe New X-Men was an honorable mention. Issue
was it
37? Yeah, I think it was.
No, that was a news story. That's bullshit. You're like, Scott is on New X-Men.
I think you're right.
Kryptonite.
Let's really get into the Kryptonite.
Story. Yeah. That's right. Give you a chance
Kirby
to talk about
sandwich.
Doing new X-Men right now.
Yeah, we're working on new X-Men. I'm doing the Matt Request for Magic. Again, I'm a terrible comic book fan, so I'm like
who's Matt?
Editors are all like, "Oh, we're bringing Ileana back." whatever we're doing. Magic in Belasco, and I'm like. All right, you know, just send me reference or whatever. So I'm just like,
reference.
I'm going into it thinking like, I'm just gonna, you know, whatever, and then
you get a letter from
all of a sudden
says,
I'm seeing all
you
these
put the
people.
Button in the wrong place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like he was showing me pages, like, wow, it's just you're bringing magic back, and he's just like, yeah, I didn't know who that was.
I'm treating it like any other, like I'm just drawing another book, sending my check, you know, whatever. Like I'm having fun, I'm doing my crazy artwork, and all of a sudden I'm seeing people online start like. Like, there's really some reaction out there. People are like, oh, yeah! It's like I'm at a wrestling match or something. They're, yeah! And I was like, this actually means. I don't think I've ever done a book that really meant something to somebody. Like, well, I mean, it did New Warriors.
Yeah, I was gonna.
All those New Warrior fans are crying.
Yeah, like all 12 of them were like, "You fucking asshole! You cartoony son of a bitch!
You Scotty Young!
Why are you making Nova so stupid?"
Exactly. Well, I don't know. Why does Night Thrasher not look like a person?
Yeah, where's his skateboard? I swear to God, I was at a convention, and when they announced it, Scotty's gonna be on New Wars. A guy came up and was like, "Man, I cannot wait to see you draw Night Thrasher with that skateboard, man." And I was like, "I hate to tell you, man." I was like, "This is 2004, and there will be no skateboards." And he's like, "What?" And then he goes into 20 minutes diatribe about trying to convince me that's part of his character. You know, like,
you just have no appreciation.
On rooftops, right, with my billy clubs.
From age 11 to 13, I carried a skateboard around all the time, too. It doesn't mean I still do.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I was a skater at heart, and I was a skater when I was young. Now I'm 30. Knees don't work so well, but you don't see me out there still trying to 360 kickflip off the curb. I'll display it in my living room, like when people come over, like, "Yeah, I used to skate."
Totally. 12 years old.
My trucks are all rusted and nasty. But yeah, so that was some.
Is that Abraham Lincoln's skateboard?
No, it's mine. Yes. The rest is good.
I don't get that. All right. Well, anyway, so we got way off the top of the stack.
Josh, what is your top of the stack?
He did two, so it makes sense because I'm doing like a half of one.
Send your hate mail.
I haven't finished this book. And we already did our show on Fanboy where I talked about all the other books I read this week. So I wanted to talk about...
We're getting leftovers, guys. You hear that? We're getting
exclusive.
Leftovers.
I was like, I got to find something. And I'm pointing. I'm like, grab that off the shelf.
Red Sonja.
Thank you, Spiffy.
Red Sonja.
I'm reading Stagger Lee right now from Image by Derek McCulloch and Shepard Hendricks. This was a recommendation I actually got from some of our listeners and stuff on our site. And I had a thread up of, like, what book should I buy? And this was the first one that got me because I am a big history buff. And I really like that doesn't show up. There's not enough comics about history as far as I'm concerned. And he mentioned what it was, and I was like, oh, I'm totally into that. So what it is, it's... There's a legend of Stagger Lee or Stago Lee or Stag Lee or
however you want to say it.
There's many ways. There's no and it explores the idea that since 1895, I believe, there was a shooting. Basically, two men got in a brawl and they shot. And there's been that became a legend. And songs grew out of it. And they were all sorts of different kinds of songs. And it goes through some of those and then goes back to the history and then goes through some of the legends and then goes back to history. And it's telling this story in this really intriguing way. That I'm totally not used to. The art is all it's not black and white. It's brown and white. It's sepia. Yeah, and it's just a really
brown
and white.
Well, it took 20 interviews with creators before I got sepia, and I'm like, you mean sepia? Yes.
You know what? It's brown. It's covers brown. And you know, I'm okay.
It's all
with
brown.
That. It's a really interesting book, and I can't think of anything else like it. I don't know if you could do anything else like it, but so far, I'm like a third of the way through, and I'm really, really enjoying it. I would be reading it right now, but I had to come here and do this.
Reddit, so. Awesome book. Nice going.
It's one of those books I keep
watching. Watch this. Wait. So if you want to know what I thought of the ending.
Oh, no.
Oh
yes! Yes!
Wow! Oh,
you can come back to ifanboy.com.
Jeez, get the fuck out of here.
I do it all the time. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God. That was so sweet. And I was like, oh, my God, look what I just did.
Pimping my own shit.
Oh, God. I plugged like Dvorak. Does anyone know what that means? Sorry. If you listen to This Week in Tech...
I don't.
Podcast.
I don't believe in...
There's other things going on in the world outside of comics.
No.
And what happens is...
We don't care about...
Listen to it.
All right, see, he knew. Thank you, because it's always like...
Shut up, nerd.
There's no one in the room who knows what I'm talking about.
Go all right, so real quick, iFanboy, every Sunday night, the Pick of the Week podcast.
Sunday nights, the podcasts come out.
Stay
Wednesday
up.
Nights, the... Yeah, wait for it. Listen to it right away.
People do.
Yes, they do. And
frightened you.
Thank you, a little bit. And then Wednesday nights... the Pick of the Week pod, the Pick of the Week review will go up, and then Wednesday afternoons, the video show.
Afternoon.
3:30 Eastern Time is the video show, and the video show's about any damn thing we want to talk about.
Yeah.
This week was cookies.
Really? Yeah. Internet
well, that was cookies.
Sweet show.
We ate cookies, and we talked about books for people who don't like superheroes.
I don't like superheroes. Pound it.
Bam. I love that he's like a pro artist and just doesn't know shit or care about comics. Yeah. And there are lines, and there are just billions of dudes out there like reading it since they were five. And
you know what they all come up to me at cons and say? Man, you're so fuck. I don't like comics either, dude, but I like your art. I hate that fucking Nova, though. That's what they all say.
Fucking Nova sucks.
All right, I'll finish this up here.
Really, I don't get a pick?
Gosh, darn. Oh,
one single tear from the eye of
John. Get at everybody. Thanks a lot for coming. We're moving every week.
I didn't see you standing there behind the pole, John. Are you losing weight?
No, okay. I don't think so.
John, keep it quick, guys.
John, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wrap it up. Come on.
No, well, and to Scotty's detriment, I will be talking about a superhero book, and that's Justice Society of America number 5.
God damn it.
Sorry, buddy. It's part two of the JLA, JSA, Legion of Superheroes tie-in. Or Snooper Heroes.
Hey, Snoop.
Snoop and Blabber. I love it. I think it's a great story, and it's more evidence that finally, after doing everything they can to separate the Legion of Superheroes from their original genesis, which is Superboy, it's coming back, and I'm glad to see it. And I think they're doing it in a very proper way, that they're still maintaining that Kal-El didn't become Superman until he was a young adult, but there's just this great fanboy moment that I think every Legion fan has been waiting for post-crisis, where you see all the statues of the Legion, and they're like, you know, all the 21st century heroes are like, who are those guys? And Superman kind of shrugs and says, they're my friends. I grew up with them. And it's like, wow, finally. Yes, because that's the hole that's been missing in the Legion. Every incarnation, I've enjoyed them. I loved Abnett and Lanning's version. Loved Mark Waid's version. Interesting to see what Bedard is going to be doing while he's on Legion as well. But Johns and Meltzer apparently have the clout to cut through all the crap and say, no, Superman is part of the Legion of Superheroes, needs to be. He's their inspiration. He's the reason why they exist. And also, you're just getting this great time travel story of why is Starman back in the 21st century? Dream Girl has emerged now. Wildfire has emerged. They're hitting all the right buttons with this story and really staying true to that great tradition that started with Gardner Fox of Justice League and Justice Society team-ups, and taking it to the level that it was in the 70s that Meltzer and Johns loved reading in reprints, and that is bringing in other super teams. And it's, I think it was, I want to say either Jerry Conway or Busiek that did that final JLA-JSA Legion team-up in the late 70s. But this can stand next to him, and it's a great story. I'm absolutely enjoying
it. I think
it
was Conway.
Was it Conway?
I think so.
There you go. You would know, Caters. But
I absolutely
love
it. My favorite part of that book was seeing Batman smash Batman's face into a brick wall.
See that?
Oh, I like Batman.
That part to me rang a little reminiscent of the Ellis and Cassidy Batman meets Planetary, where you had all the Batmans kind of converge. But
they didn't beat the shit out of each other.
No, they didn't.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I was thinking between the JLA and the JSA, they needed more characters.
Awesome.
So where better to go than
the 300 Legionnaires?
Jesus.
No, I understand, and it's funny. I think I'm like part of that last generation that was either an X-Men fan or a Legion of Superhero fan, because certainly since then, it's pretty much the X-Men and the Legion
of left in
the dust.
All I know is I fucking...
Oh, yeah.
I hate...
Bring back Joe Casey's Wildcats.
I hate Brad Meltzer. I hate Jeff Johns, and I hate Tom for getting me to be up at midnight on a Thursday night, Wikipedian fucking interlax, so
because
I can translate.
I'm a DC nerd, and I've infected
interlac.
Well, Sal, should we tease the idea that we came up with today of what we want to do in the next couple months or so?
Oh no!
Comics 101.
Naked.
Podcast? Oh, the Legion.
Comics 101. We kind of came up with the idea. Comics 101.
Well, because of the JSA and JLA thing, and the Legion are getting a lot of. Yeah, now we guess we have to. We're still waiting for Tom's JSA Comics 101 that he's supposed to. Yeah,
we're all working on it. Don't worry about it. I'd like to hear that so I'd know
what
the fuck's going on.
JSA or Legion?
It's a 12-part series.
Okay. I'm afraid to read them just because.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm not like an old-time DC fan.
I am.
Just call Tom. He'll tell you anything you need to know about those books.
I don't like to talk on the phone.
No, I
email him.
Email
him. I do it all the time.
These two trades, they just
text,
put out
mail, anything. He'll take any kind of communication.
I don't know. I don't have much DC history in that sense at all. And
that'll catch you up fast, boys. These two Justice Society trades that they
Wikipedia,
came out with last
you
year.
Find out. Mm-hmm.
Which one?
All the All-Star Comics reprints of the 70s, and especially the early part of it. It's awesome because it's Wally Wood Studio. And you get Wally Wood drawing that Golden Age Superman, that Joe Shuster-looking Superman, and it's... a great geek art moment for comics, you know. I mean, you're dealing with 70s storytelling, which was aimed at 12-year-olds, young 12-year-olds, but I think it's the entertainment value and the symbolism.
The
of, well, and the symbolism of the stories, I think, still holds true, and I think you can appreciate where these characters came from and understand them a little bit better today.
Great.
Word.
All right. I'll finish things up. Sorry about that, cutting you off. There.
No.
We're actually ignoring you, John.
Thank you.
Didn't mean
thank you. Brilliant.
Who? Tough decision this week. I was this close to doing Spirit number four, was it five?
But then
Sal informed me that actually came out last week while I was on vacation. So
I picked still a book that came out 3 years ago. So I think we're.
I don't even know when my book came out.
About 2 or 3 years ago.
There's no time
friends. But the Spirit last week was great. But what I enjoyed the most this week was 52 number 51. And it was just a great conclusion to several of the storylines, and then just kind of the great setup for what the last issue is going to be next week. And without spoiling, you know, too much, I guess if you haven't read it, spoilers ahead. as Mike covers his ears, so a great resolution to the Animal Man arc. It was great to see him make it home. And
I don't think it's resolved.
I agree. Got it, Chris. Quite because over. If you go to look at what's been going on in Justice League 1 year later, I think I something think still so. There's still a shooter still, drop still in the Animal Man story because they kind of say, you know, we're
going
to. Why
are you guys ruining Mike's
day?
Yeah.
And we,
we can't hope he's 7 months behind on every fucking book we talk about.
It was great. It was a great moment to see Buddy make it home.
Oh, yeah, and reunite with his family.
Sure. And then the Skeets reveal at the very end.
Good Lord, he's like, not to spoil too much.
But
you guys need like a spoiler color code.
No, but
spoiler code orange.
Help us, Dick Cheney. Where are we at the spoiler code?
The Skeets reveal that has been building up for, you know, since, what, issue 10 was fantastic.
Issue
and
one.
Tom,
really?
You called it
so they resolved
a couple
big.
Months ago. So it was.
I know.
I didn't say what it was. I didn't say what the reveal was. But
I've been sending Mike an email every week and what I thought it was. Like, my Norton, think of keep this in the back.
Look at Norton emails him back and goes, go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
All right.
Mike,
are we all down here?
I'm scared of myself.
I think, look out for the new Norton Sandman Norticon that's coming out on aroundcomics.com soon. Oh, jeez, killed the show with that fucking comment.
Hey, I actually want to say thanks for letting me come on here tonight, because all joking aside, I'm making fun of you guys, but I really, really do enjoy the show.
So
thanks for letting me sit around.
Anytime, Scotty. You're
here on a Friday night.
We booked Scotty up. He's going to be the guest for our ultimate 100 extravaganza.
100th episode? Yes. I won't be there. I'm going to have to do a call-in.
Yeah.
I'll be
calling. Hey, we're doing a remote from local subway, local Blimpy.
We got Sal from Palm Springs.
He's going off on a romantic thing too, he'll call in.
Exactly.
What's up with you?
I'm not going on a honeymoon.
Little honeymoons are like, hold on. Exactly. This is Around Comics.
I'll be stuck in a hotel room with my wife and two kids, so any excuse to get away for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you're going to Bloomington, right?
Yeah, going to Bloomington. My niece is graduating, so.
You're going
to
have plenty
have
to do.
Have a gondola at
Vati's.
Yeah. You
can
go to the mall, dude.
All right.
I'm going to be surprised if you can fit in a 10-minute phone call. I've been to Bloomington.
It's so exciting.
You going to Bloomington or you going to Normal?
Wherever the college is. I don't know.
Catherine
I haven't been.
Eric, what's her name? Bush's old campaign manager wrote her book, 10 Minutes to Normal.
Really?
Because, and she said, because that's what she heard on the campaign train, 10 Minutes to Normal. And she's like, that's exactly how I feel. I'm Karen Hughes.
Thank you for that.
You can help us out by spreading the Around Comics love.
So tired.
A few different ways you can do that. You can check us up on our listener LCS challenge. There's a flyer at aroundcomics.com. You can download that. Ask your local comic shop owner or manager if they'll put that up in their store. If they do so, we will mention both you and the shop on the show and provide a link to the store at our site. You can also become our virtual friends at ComicSpace at comicspace.com/aroundcomics or MySpace at myspace.com/aroundcomics. You can do my personal favorite, which is the iTunes Music Store review. You can be as cool as Andy Parks and Steve Bryant and Mike Norton and Burt Wheeler and
Dirt Wheeler.
I'd like to thank the folks that helped our March to 100. That'd be Brian York.
March to what?
Random 73. Oh, 100. Nate Sample, a Night Flight, a Darren 37, and more Putty
Pond. You just can't get enough of those iTunes reviews, can you?
The March to 200 has begun.
Are we tied at 4.5 stars?
Slick 92.
Something like that.
What a weird world. You know, like we're on air and you're naming people that have numbers and dashes.
Vader Jizz. Yeah,
exactly. Vader Jizz.
This is Skligglebot. Bleebo Mark.
My arch nemesis online.
You can also.
Snaggle Puss's cock.
0488269.
Exit. Thanks, Lev.
Exit. Frapper. What do we got?
Well, we have more Putty Pond in Lubbock, Texas, who said.
Texas.
I love this show for all the wrong reasons, I think. And we have Loris Z from Escobar, Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Hello.
And wow. His only comment was something clever should be said here.
Sorry.
What's Frapper, by the way?
Frapper is just a mapping thing. You can punch in your zip code. It puts you on a map so we know.
Yes, it is.
So we can hunt you down.
Well.
Check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer.
Sleepy.
Do you guys have thongs?
We need to cut that out of the...
It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network.
Are you strung out?
Find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topics on Tuesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com.
Yeah,
we've never been strung out anything but music.
And Jesus.
This Thursday, we're going to have a great conversation with Matt Fraction, and Josh will be back. You going to be back on Thursday, Josh?
Yes. Josh is going to sleep.
You guys are magicians.
Wait, but how could
so
I be here one day?
Don't think about it.
Go to sleep.
We'd like to thank Borders for sponsoring the show. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people that have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. Well, let's thank everybody today. Mike, Scotty, Josh, Mr. Centris, Tom.
You. Go to sleep.
Sal.
Yeah.
I'm
sure if they're going to fall asleep, they already
will. Yeah. I think that happened about 25 minutes.
Shut up so I can stay asleep!
I think it's working, too, because I'm feeling kind of
woozy. Mark turns on the chloroform.
That's how the show goes by then.
Everyone, have a fantastic couple days. Please come back on Thursday for
that. Come back.
You're not the boss of me!
Please come back. And then the following week, Free Comic Book Day coming up, so we'll have updates about that on the website.
Whatever, blah, blah, blah.
In the meantime...
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in...
And around comics.
Go to sleep.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love?
me, baby, love you one more time.